Good evening, Abba Isai. I don't think we've got a clear... I think the way we perceive royalty nowadays is not the way... I'm not sure. I just know two things about royalty in earlier years, and that's not such a long time ago. My father-in-law is from Denmark, and there was a king, I don't know if there still is or not, but I remember that he tells me that you must have heard this as well. There was a king there. Is there still a king in Denmark? A queen. And he used to go, I think daily, he used to go on the horse for a little horse. He used to go on a horse, on a white horse. He used to go around the area every day, pretty much. I think, I don't know if it's every day or, I think, pardon? The king. He used to go around. And he made such a roshim to see. Yeah. And it was like a thing to see the king. It was quite a thing. My grandmother, she was born in 1912. She's lived already a number of years ago. And she was born in 1912. And I remember that, I don't know what the conversation was. She came from a very Rabbonish house, my grandmother. And I remember that once in conversation, I don't know what it was, but she came from Hungary. And once the Kaiser Franz Josef was mentioned. The Kaiser was like the king. Franz Josef was mentioned. I don't know what year was he died exactly. Do you know Franz Josef when he died? No, he was like the kid, last monarch. I think it was the last monarch, one of the last monarchs. And just to mention his name was like, my grandmother was like, you know, had to like, you know, was like, oh, like, just to mention it. You can't just mention the name of the Kaiser Franz Josef. You know, like without like prior preparation. Royalty in those days was something very, very, very real. So in that, having said that, I think we can understand Sif Tes, page 280 Sif Tes. It says as follows, Mitzvah l'shtadl l'rois melochim. It is a mitzvah to try to see, l'rois, to see melochim, kings. Afilu malchim u'sa'olam. There's a mitzvah to see kings. There's a mitzvah to try and see kings. Mishneh Berurah says, in Sifkot Yud Gimel, l'rois melochim afilu, humutah letamei betumah shadivrei mipnei kvodon. It is permitted to become tomei in the rabbinical tumah in the honor of the kings. Bein lemalchei Yisrael, whether it's for Yiddish king, bein lemalchei umos ha'olam, whether it's for Goyish king. V'chein mipnei kvod abrias, also the additional kvod abrias, k'goyin leilech l'nachem avein me'usela, to mitamei Yisrael, for not only for the royalty, but also for kvod abrias. Him roye pam achas amelech, if he so wants the king, lo yivatel yoisem limudel yoisoy. If he so wants the king, don't be mivatel Torah again. So don't try to get a glimpse at the queen every 2 weeks. Once you've seen her once, don't be mivatel another seder for that. Once seems to be that it's fine, but regularly is the wrong thing to do. Unless him lo yishabo bechal yoisem v'kvod yoigodel yoisoy. So you're allowed to mivatel mur Torah if you're going to see her or him, the monarch, with greater covet and splendor and honor. If it's going to be a bigger matzav, she'll have to mivatel Torah again. But just to see the same thing over and over again, there's no heter to do that. So that's very interesting, because the poskim take this very, very far. This mitzvah l'shtadel, with the added point of you're allowed to, imagine that, you're allowed to do an issur d'rabbanan of making metameh yourself on a tumah d'rabbanan to see the king. What do you think about that? What do you think about that? It's unbelievable. You're allowed to do. You're allowed to even make.
Even saying a little shtadel, which means, and if not only for a mitzvah, if you try to do a mitzvah, you get rewarded for that mitzvah. Maybe saying it, part of the mitzvah is to try to.
Yeah.
Do a mitzvah.
It's but it's just shtadel over here. Over here means that it's not. You don't have to. It's a kula. You don't have to do as much as for normal mitzvah d'rabbanan. You don't have to do. It's not an absolute obligation. The obligation is to attempt. So it's a bit of a kula. You don't have to like do anything, spend a fortune, spend hours and hours. You start, you have to attempt, you have to try. The Ksav Sofer was asked the following Shaila, Rabbi said. This is in the 1800s. The king of those days, the monarch in Austria-Hungarian Empire, I don't know who it was. Anybody know who was the monarch of Austria-Hungarian Empire in the 1800s? Early 1800s? He came to Peshbog, where the Heilig Ksav Sofer was Rav, and he came, and it was a big opportunity to give him honor. So he did that. Monarch was quite commonly used to go into the cities, and he used to be welcomed and get a whole welcome ceremony by the people living there. So it happens to be that the king came on a Shabbos. Now, what happened? That's an important point. That in order to give him the honor, what they would do, they actually would go out with a Sefer Torah towards the king to greet the king. I saw pictures of this, by the way, because it happened not, and that happened a few generations later with the Rebbe Akiva Sefer, the Dal Sefer happened again. I saw pictures of that. He took his hat off, which is the Chiddush as well, and he was standing there in honor of the king. The king was on his white horse, and with his entourage behind him, and the Preshbo Grov and Roshiva, the Akiva Sefer, the Dal Sefer, stood there in absolute humility in front of the king. I'm sure he made a bracha there. You can't see that on the picture, but I'm sure he did. And a few generations before that, with the Ksav Sefer, the question was asked. They came on a Shabbos, and normally you'd greet the king with a Sefer Torah. However, to greet the king with a Sefer Torah, that would imply with an Issur Rabbanon of carrying on Shabbos. Issur Rabbanon because he would just end up being Issur Rabbanon, Hotzah without Achnosa, etc., less than Dalet Ames, whatever. He would only be a Hotzah or the Rabbanon carrying of a Sefer Torah in a rabbinical Issur. In honor of the monarch, is this permitted, yes or no? To go out, or should you rather go out with greeting without a Sefer Torah? In honor of their king? Should be able to? Yes or no? Not so possible. Pardon? Without? Without? Not with Peter Rabbanon only. Says the Ksav Sofer, he brings a guy from here. Exactly, it's the Ksav Sofer, you're allowed to. So you're allowed to do an Issur Rabbanon in order to give honor to the king. And the one he's talking about carrying a Sefer Torah and Issur Rabbanon for the honor of the king. How's that? Not logical. You can break an Issur Rabbanon.
Why can you? I didn't think you could break Shabbos just for the king. You can break it for Sakona. Why should you be able to break Shabbos for?
Because the honor of the king is one of those things.
The
honor
of the king without a Sefer Torah.
So I imagine that it would be a certain, because since the king normally understood that it wasn't the first time he met Yidden, and he would normally go out and greet him with a Sefer Torah, then why would he come out this time without a Sefer Torah? Once you have to explain yourself to the king, it's not very pleasant. You don't want to start justifying yourself to do in front of the king.
You can make that as an excuse for anything then.
Not for anything, but just for we just see of it the importance that Chazal laid about the honor of a king. So I wonder nowadays, if you've got invites to rule Holy Rhine as the king, queen, what's her name again? Yeah, if you're invited to go to her palace on Shabbos, I don't think you ever had to do that. I don't think. What do you think, Rabbi Yisai? You ever had to nowadays to do an Issur Rabbanon?
So
let's say you can only get in there with an Issur Rabbanon.
What's the difference between nowadays and the previous day?
Because the king, the royalty, was something much more serious, significant, important, powerful. It is much less of that.
Read the Queen's speech from
They definitely had more power, and also had more. They definitely had more power. A king then had much more power, and the army was in their hands, and they would decide.
So you're saying you can do it because the king has power, and yeah, it'd be better for the Jewish people if he didn't come along. With,
yeah.
Whereas today,
yeah,
the queen's got no power, so it yeah, won't make any difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the criteria have been laid out in previous Sivim, haven't they, about whether
exactly
the power to order or overrule the death penalty.
Exactly.
She's nowhere near all that.
Right. So one could definitely argue that you can't, according to that understanding, you would never have to do the Rabbanon on that. One could argue maybe yes. One could argue that maybe she has pashtus. I don't think anybody would allow nowadays, in terms of that, to be over the Rabbanon in order to give honor to the king or to the queen. I doubt it. But it's interesting that other poskim also discussed that there was a there was a group of Rabbonim who had who were struggling. There was in a certain generation, again in the Austro-Hungarian Empire, there was a generation that was struggling with Shechita and with other rights, Jewish rights. And they were struggling, and the only one who could overrule and overturn the legislation was the king himself. They wanted to get an appointment by the king, and they managed, after many weeks and months in protectia and bribes, to manage to get an appointment to the king. But it happens to be that it was in 9 days. In the 9 days, no less. And the question asked was, they all looked a bit like you look in the 9 days, long hair and the beards and everything. And the Rabbonim as well, the Askonim, who were invited, they finally got an appointment by the king. They looked very unpresentable. Very unpresentable. Very unpresentable. But you know, the long hair, in the 9 days, you know how you look in the 9 days. And the shaila was, should they, or should, or have they got a right or not to make themselves presentable in honor of the king? Yes or no? And what do you think? Yes, cutting hair, cutting beards.
For
request.
Yeah. For a greeting and meeting and for
yeah.
Their own self-glorification, then the answer might be different to them going for common needs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Lemaisa, it's true, I hear that. Lemaisa, the Rabbonim were matir, based on this again, that if it's a Rabbonon, you don't want to risk it. Interestingly, it's interesting as well, there's a story about Moshe Scherer, who was the head of the Aguda in America for many years. And he also had, he was invited by the president then, who was, I'm not sure who was the president, he was invited. It was also, again, a similar question, who was before, you can probably work it out quite easily, that's in the 1990s. The American president in the 1990s. No, that was long after Kennedy.
Clinton from 92 to 98.
So maybe it was President Clinton. Or
Bush.
So it was about those. So this is much more recent than the Kaiser Franz Josef. And there was, and he was also for communal, he also the head of the Aguda. He was invited to go to the president. And this again, it was in the 9 days. And the question then was, can he also shave? He was clean shaven. Can he shave when he has his meeting with the president amongst other Haskonim? Can he shave in the 9 days or not? Heta or no heta?
The president knows that Jews grow beards.
Very good. That's very interesting. So Ann Kotler didn't let him. Very good. That's right. Pardon? If he
can put a clean suit on,
it's more interesting. Right. The Rabbi Ann Kotler didn't let. And he says, don't worry, because nowadays, you know, it's diverse. Diversity is the name nowadays, right? You need to be diverse. And even already in those days, it was like that drive towards diversity. And he says, he'll no problem, you know, you'll be all right like that. And very interesting that the president then, although it was quite a big meeting, the president then asked him why he's not white, asked him directly, in a very positive way, asked him, you can see that you're not quite clean shaven, what's the reason for that? And the focus of the conversation went towards that, explained about Beis HaMikdash and all. And yet there was a very, very clever person, Rabbi Sharon, and he was able to lead and navigate the conversation towards exactly his agenda, which actually turned out to be an amazing plus. And it was the top argument during the whole conversation. And he was able to navigate the conversation towards what he actually wanted, towards his agenda points, which Ibn Kotler had in his mind. So that's in terms of nowadays. But yes, there is a mitzvah to see to be mishtadl liros melochim. Sivyud. Haroye bati Yisrael bi yeshuvon. Bati Yisrael bi yeshuvon. Mishnah Berurah explains if got new dalet. This is talking about the Yishuv, when the settlement of Klal Yisrael is strong and wealthy, then you can make the Rochet Kegoyin, such as Yishuv Beisheni, when there was a settlement, a strong, solid Yishuv of Klal Yisrael, you make the Rochet of Bochet Hashem Lekem Elecholom, Matzev Gumul Almona. When you see, however, the opposite, when Chas V'Shalom, the settlement of Klal Yisrael is destroyed, you make the Boch of Boch, Tayno Emes. Sifit Aleph. Horoye bate of the Kechovim Yeshuv. When you see the houses of the Kechovim in strength and in a settled, wealthy matzav, you say, Beis gei misach Hashem. Pechubonon, when the houses are destroyed, oima kein nekomos Hashem. That is the what you say. Seif Yud Beis is Horoye kivrei Yisrael. Somebody goes and sees kivrei Yisrael. You make the bracha of bracha to Hashem lekem alecholom asher yotza eschem badin v'chulu. Anybody been to a Beis Olam, Rabbi Yisai? Anybody been to a Beis Olam? You been to a Beis Olam? Yeah, where did you go? Right, and then you made a bracha? You didn't make a bracha? Anybody been to a Beis Olam? Any Beis Olam? When you see Kivrei Yisrael? Yeah. So there's a bracha that one makes when it goes into a Beis Olam. You didn't make a bracha.
You make it after you wash your hands at the end, right?
You can, or you, either that, yes, yeah. Some people make it after enter. You see that a lot of Beis Olam is actually is written in big. As you, have you ever been to a Beis Olam?
If you haven't been there for 30 days.
Correct, absolutely, that's right.
So if you haven't been there for 30 days.
You make the bracha, absolutely, Kivrei Yisrael. Hore Kivrei Yisrael, Oye Bracha, Ta Hashem Lekim, Enechol Masha Yotzef, you went to school?
Yeah.
With Rabbi Reutemark? And you didn't make a bracha?
No.
Okay. Next time you go, ask why you should make a bracha. Pardon? When you see kivrei of the kechovim, you say bushayim chem. You make a, you say it differently. That there are various minhagim about kivrei of the kechovim. So my grandfather, this is, I think, quite a minute, that when somebody sees kivrei of the kechovim, some people will. Have you ever seen this minhag? Not to say anything, but to some people do, yeah. So there's such a minig as well. But certainly, when it comes to kivrei Yisrael, that one should make a bracha. One goes in the base, other one makes a bracha. Mishnah Berurah explains sivkot yud beis, sivkot tezayin. It says kivrei Yisrael v'im oyor sham ra keva echad. If there's only one keva. Then it's only Shailo in a bochazu, you don't make the bocha, kinis kino belosh and rabbi, because it's, the bocha is on a plural. Asher yotza eschem bedin. That's when people go to a particular, like you go to Meiron, where Reb Shem Baruch Chai's tzin is, or you go to one individual, then you don't make the bocha. Even if you'll see a few of them, you don't make the bocha. There's only a particular bocha that is said when you go into a cemetery, into a Beis Olam. And in Beis Olam, you see many kvorim, that bocha is established. When you see just one tzin, when you go to Meron Tzfas Tver, you'll often see of Tanoim, Tanoim, you don't make the bracha then. Even if it's to one particular person who is buried, you don't make the bracha only when it's a kivrei Yisrael. And indeed, this is leading to your point, if you gimel, is kol brachas ariyah, all the brachas which are on seeing something, all the brachas are said on sight. Him chaz averoh is dova b'soch shleshim yoyim, we see it in the end 30 days, so you go to one base olam, and then again you see it within 30 days. You only make the bracha if it's more than 30 days. When a person goes, for instance, he goes to become a sakadoshim, he goes to Beis Olam in Europe, he goes to Poland, or he goes to Litau, or he goes to Hungary, or he goes to those places, and he goes, in one day he covers a few Bate Olam, he goes to one cemetery and to another Beis Olam, and another Beis Olam, you don't make various brachas, only make one bracha because you're seeing a few in one day. So the bracha is only within 30 days. Mishnah Berurah says, if God you die, the dafkik shiro oisem melech, this is going again on the king. If you see the king as well, if you see the king numerous times, you only make the bracha once, unless it's 30 days again. The dafkik shiro oisem melech, that's only if you see the king, same king, imro melech, achet zoch levoch, but you see, when you see various kings, then you can make, even within 30 days, you can make, if you see various kings, you can make, even within 30 days, you can make two brachas. Yes? Yeah. So what would be your example? If you see
it again after that.
Yeah. No, if you see after 30 days?
In the 30 days.
Yeah. Ah, I see. No, then if the 30 days are over from the first sight, then you can make a bracha again, although you saw something in between. Which is interesting, Shaila. Yeah, it's interesting, Shaila. But the Maaseh, that's how we annoy it. Yeah. When you go, anybody been to Levaya? You go to Levaya after school to Bais Olam. Yeah. So when did you make the bracha? When you get there or when you leave? Do you remember?
I remember you say before when they've had the service and they take the coffin just before. In the United one in Bushy, it's just before the actual stones are.
Yeah.
Gravestones, and then you say it.
Yeah.
That's what I do anyway.
Yeah.
So but if you're visiting us, you know, like on a yard site, or
yeah.
Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur, then you just say it before you visit.
Before you visit, as you go in, yeah, you
but
see
the. In the Levaya, they do the service first.
Yes, and then you make a bracha then. Yeah.
It's a big sign.
Yeah, it's normally quiet. It's quiet. Well, yeah.
They stop. People can say the
block
and then they carry on.
Yeah. Okay, Rabbi Sai, we covered tonight the following. Yeah, do you want to say something? You'll make the bracha, and then you'll. What do you mean? In one base, Olam Khalila? Oh, that's terrible. Soldiers, there's Yiddish soldiers buried there. Interesting question. That's a really interesting question. In the same.
These are rather than just
stam
goyim, right?
No, even goyim stam. Some people have, yeah. That's not halacha, it's just that's what some people do.
So
did. Yeah. I don't know. I gather that you can make the bracha because you're seeing many goyim. Many Yiddish says it's kivrei salt. You could probably make the bracha shiur tzayis chem b'din, and you could maybe say bushem chem. I'm not sure. It's a good question. I don't know. Normally, the conventional way of making the bracha is when you go to a Yiddish base olim. That's normally when the bracha is said. That's not Yiddish base olim. Or is it Yiddish base olim? Yeah. So I don't know the answer. Okay, Rabbi said we learned tonight the halachas of that is a mitzvah to attempt. To see the king, we said that even some of the rabbonons are pushed away. We spoke about other brochas. When you see Yikal Yisrael B'Yishuv, you make a certain brocha and it's opposite Chas V'Sholem. We spoke about base of the Batei of the Kechovim B'Yishuv, when it's nice and settled, to go big Yishuv, you can say base game Yisach Hashem. A person who sees Kivrei Sol says Brochat Hashem V'Kem Elechol Mashi Yotzas Chem B'Din, etc. And all the brachas, an important rule that all the brachas are only to be said within 30 days. If they are seen over 30 days, if you're seeing the same site twice within 30 days, you will not make the bracha. Tomorrow, Be'ezer Hashem, is Baruch Shemoy. Good evening, Abba Yisrael.